Welcome back to Here's the Thing podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
So, what is on your mind today?
Okay, so today we're talking about fear.
Yeah.
Question, are you still afraid of spiders?
Put all my business out there. Am I still afraid of spiders? I don't know if I'm necessarily still afraid. I have a healthy respect for them.
Okay.
I stay away from
spiders. Is it like all spiders, big, little?
I'm not afraid of spiders. I let them sit in their territory by themselves, unbothered.
Did you always have this healthy respect?
No. At one point in time, I was definitely fearful. My fear from spiders came from, there was one time I was in camp. My mom sent me to this camp for like Bible study or whatever the case is at some church. And what happened was at night, we were sleeping in the woods. There were no cabins. This is before like technology and stuff. So they said, yo, you're outside in the woods with a sleeping bag. Do you remember sleeping bags? We don't have those anymore. But they put us in the woods with a sleeping bags in a tent. And they said, yo, make sure when you go to sleep at night that you zip up your tent, because if not, critters will get in there. So I made sure I was the last one in the tent, and I zipped that thing up. I made sure, there will be no spiders or roaches or bugs in my tent. But we had to go to the bathroom by, opening up the tent and going to, some little thing or whatever. So one of the kids went to the bathroom, unzipped it, came back in, didn't zip it up all the way. Now, I'm asleep, so I don't know.
Come on.
This is what happened. I woke up that following morning. There were daddy long legs all in the tent.
Oh my God.
Like a feast of them. I was so petrified. I think I died on the inside at least three times. They were everywhere.
I
didn't understand, how do you not zip up the tent when you come back inside?
Right.
Now, daddy long legs, stupid name for them, but daddy long legs don't bite. They are
pretty harmless.
Yeah, harmless, from what they say. But they look petrifying.
Oh.
They look nasty. They look like if you see them, you might get ate. So I ended up doing my best to shake these things off and get them out your hair, get them out your clothes and stuff. But when I say that from that day, spiders were a no-go for me, I'll never go into a spider's territory again.
Spider's territory. So no more camping for you.
Never again. I'm not an outdoorsy person already. Mm. So camping just sounds pretty traumatic.
Okay.
Am I still afraid of them? No, but I do have a healthy respect for them.
Okay.
I've overcome that fear.
Well, that makes sense.
I would hope so. Sometimes, when you encounter something for the first time up close and personal.
Yeah.
It can,
And you felt a little outnumbered, too.
Oh, a million to one. That's what it felt like. Like a million to one spiders in that goddamn tent.
Yeah.
And everybody else was just so casual, just brushing them off. They don't bite. What's wrong with y'all? I'm from the city, so this is new to me.
Yeah.
So, yes, I am.
So, is there anything, you're afraid of now?
I don't think I'm afraid of anything. I think I just have, a healthy respect. Like, wasps, bees.
Yeah, I have a healthy respect for those.
Yeah, but I said I think I told you, if you see a wasp, run. Don't expect me to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be that man. You should have ran like I ran. Because I want to make sure that I get to safety so I can help you get to safety from my safe place. So what are you? Are you afraid of anything? You have a fear of anything?
Not off the top of my head, but definitely grew up with fears. I was attacked a lot in my dreams as a child. I developed a fear of the dark because my imagination was pretty vivid. Plus there was actual, stuff going on.
Sure.
Sleep paralysis and demonic activity and stuff. So, definitely had developed a fear of the dark for sure. And all the way up into my adult years, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
until I kind of I broke out that thing.
So. I think everybody's really afraid of dark on the low. Like, I feel like we play it off.
Yeah, but, like, I know, like, people will sleep with the TV on. It's like, it's not a light light.
Right.
I just fell asleep with the TV
on. It's more a grown up to sleep with a TV on than a night light. I'm about to say, right. But you really are, like, people be having night lights throughout their house. Like, you know, like you really are afraid of dark. It's okay. I'm about to say, did you ever watch that show, Are You Afraid of Dark?
No, that was, mm-mm.
Nickelodeon?
Yeah, no. Are You Afraid of Dark? My mom wouldn't, we couldn't watch a lot of stuff growing up.
I respect your mama for that. Yeah. Because that show was really demonic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, but it was like, you know, like a way to almost like dumb down the things that you probably are afraid of. Mm. Like, you know, like they try to like tell ghost stories about certain things and mm-hmm. be like, oh, it really was just somebody with a mask on, or like, you know, like almost like Scooby-Doo, where like you're afraid of all gotcha. These goons and goblins and they're really just regular people, like almost again trying to make it dumb down what you are afraid of.
Yeah,
but yeah, Are You Afraid of Dark was definitely a thing. Like, you know, I don't know if you've seen on TikTok where people will, like, you know, act like they're going upstairs and then they turn the lights off and then they run upstairs and then there's somebody like
yeah,
in all black chasing yeah. them. Like, you know, like that is a real fear that I think people face.
I literally, it's real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say like I'll just say that I used to have that up into my adult years where I would literally feel like there was something following me.
Yeah.
Up the stairs as I turned off the lights or whatever. And, I can't explain it, but it really is almost like a presence there.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I think that you're not the only person that experienced it, because TikToks be having
right.
45 million views of these things. So clearly, like, you know, people have experienced this before.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this. Like, yeah. How would you define fear, like, in general?
Well, I think the first thing that we got to do when we look at it holistically, we have to look at fear from a spiritual place.
Okay.
The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So mm-hmm. the first thing I would say in definition is fear is a spirit. So mm-hmm. like, you know, so with that being the case, I look at what fear does in something that God kind of showed me. He said, like, you know, fear is meant to paralyze you. Fear is a parasite and it needs a host to survive.
Okay.
So if you've ever seen parasites on bugs or whatever the case is, or on fish or whatever the case is, they need that thing to be alive in order for them to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It literally is how it exists. So fear, in my opinion, can't exist without a host.
Mm-hmm.
So when fear attaches itself to you, it thrives. And what fear does when it attaches itself to you is it paralyzes you. It slows you down. It slowly takes the wind out of you until you no longer move forward in a certain direction. So if I'm defining fear, I would define it as a parasite.
That's interesting.
That's just like when you think about what fear does, like when yeah. I'm afraid of spiders and I see a spider, what's the first thing I'm gonna do?
Yeah, because, I mean, people, there is such thing as being, like, too afraid to move. Like, when people are, like, that stunned,
yeah,
it's like they literally cannot move.
Right. I'm about to say, because when I see a bee and I'm moving forward, I'm stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even start moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a spider, I'm going to stop. Probably going to start moving backwards. I mean, like, maybe now I might just get my shoe and kill it. But at one point in time, fear would literally, like, stop me in my tracks.
That makes sense.
And that's what Satan wants to inflict on us. Like, you know, not to be deep so early. But, like, you know, I believe that Satan wants to induct a certain amount of fear within our hearts. So we stop moving forward with certain things that God has told us to do. So that way we can't get access to the thing that God has for us. And that, to me, puts fear on notice for me, where now it's like, I see you.
Yeah.
I understand what you are. Like, you know, even like, you know, and sometimes, like, you know, like you said, like, you know, fear will make you run into the opposite direction. So when you were afraid of dark, right, and you were running up, like, you know, like you turn the lights off, you try to hurry up and get to your room or whatever case is, like, you know, like what characteristics did you notice that you had when you were fearful? Like, what happened to you?
I mean, it's just heart racing, a lack of peace. You know, it's, I don't know, you all, it's, I think fear and anxiety are like brother and sister. Like they come from the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're, I think that they just, if you find one, you find the other.
Wow.
And so I think that was paired with it, because, I mean, we know that fear can manifest itself in different ways. I mean, you could have fear of man.
Okay.
You know, where you're always afraid of what somebody will say. And again, that can kind of paralyze you in that type of way. You could literally be fearful of the dark or something like that. You could be fearful of failure.
Yeah.
Afraid to fail, afraid to pursue. There's like different ways that fear manifests itself, and it's not always attached to like scary stuff. Yeah. Does that make sense? And I think that that is why people live with the spirit for so long.
Wow.
Is because a lot of times fear is justifiable, right? Like you can say that something, you know, what happens if this happens? You know what I mean? It would be wisdom for me to just not even do that. Or, you know, what happened? Just you can come up with so many like scenarios to justify why you're afraid of something. And wow. I think that that's why people live with fear for so long.
Yeah. Now you said something there and I'm curious. Do you think there's a difference between being fearful and being afraid of something?
No.
They're one the same to you.
Yeah. Hold on. Because I looked up the definition. I loved your definition, by the way.
Thank you.
Very deep and spiritual. I'm about
to say, it came from Holy Spirit.
Amen. Webster says, fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat.
Okay.
And I really like that definition because it mentions that it's a belief of something. And so I think that fear is often tied to our beliefs. What do we believe? Do we believe that, you know, something is going to harm me? Do we believe that, you know, this is going to overtake me or something? Because that's kind of where fear gets its power from.
Yeah.
Kind of how you mentioned that it needs something, like it needs to attach itself to your belief system in order to thrive.
That's really good. I'm about to say, because how many things do we believe that aren't even necessarily true?
Yes.
Like, I believed that spiders would eat me alive.
A daddy llama, as if.
As if they do that.
You would fit in its mouth or anything like that. Like,
I'm about to say, so my thought process was, like, I believe it to be true, and that became my way of life.
Of justifying the fear.
Wow, that's really good. I'm about to say, and even with that, like, you know, I wonder how many people, like, you know, believe things that aren't necessarily true. Right. Because you heard the acronym of fear, right?
Yes.
What's the acronym?
False evidence appearing real.
Right. Appearing real. So
tied to belief again.
Right. I'm about to say that. That's why I thought that was such a good definition.
Yeah.
So how many people do we encounter, or how many people do we know that have a false evidence of something being detrimental,
right,
or something being threatening to their well-being or whatever the case is, and then they live their life predicated upon that thought.
Right.
Like, you will literally, like, you know, you will literally deny yourself of a lifestyle that you could live because of a fear that's not even rooted in any truth.
Yeah.
Like, I was afraid of swimming at one point in time.
Mm.
And I had one of them dads that said, hey, tossing you to the deep end.
Mm.
Like, you know, and I remember vividly, I don't know where we were, but I remember he grabbed me by my shoulders and I was losing my mind. I'm like, hey, I know where you're going.
I'm about to die.
I'm literally about to drown. I'm about to say, now, my dad is like, you know, like, he's like 6 foot something at the time. And I'm probably like, you know, like 3 foot. Mm-hmm. So he's walking to the 5 feet, standing perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But because I know that I'm not that tall, I'm dying on the inside. Like, hey, and dying on the outside too. My mom is like, calm down. Like, you'll be all right. But I'm screaming, losing it. And then, like, you know, my dad is like, he doesn't even let me go. But he holds me the whole time by my shoulders. And he, like, kind of waits for me to calm down.
Yeah.
Like, you realize that this water's not hurting you. This water's not killing you. You're not dying. Relax.
Yeah.
Breathe. And sometimes you have to face that fear to realize that what I used to believe isn't necessarily true at all.
And most of the time it isn't. Like, when I think about, and I don't, this is the main reason why, I'll say this, it's so much. Okay, so my thoughts are like, we kind of talked about how fear is a spirit, right?
Yeah, right.
And it for sure can attach itself to you. I think about, like, when I watch scary movies, or when I did watch scary movies as a child, like, all of a sudden, whatever thing was in that movie now knows where I live and is now going to appear in my room.
Oh, my Lord.
Because it knows that I'm aware of it now. You know what I mean?
Fair enough, yeah.
Stuff where it's just like, it's not really rational. Like, right. If I'm going up the stairs, I know I'm the only one in the house. Why would I think that just because I turn off a light, something is just automatically going to appear?
Right.
It's not, it doesn't make sense. But at the same time, it is a presence. Like, it actually is a spirit. Like, you're not all the way tripping. Like, there's a good possibility that after you watch that movie, there is a spirit in your room now. Does that make sense? Where it's just like, you're not, but logically, you turn on the lights and it's like, there's nothing there.
So you don't watch scary movies?
No.
I used to love a good horror.
I don't understand.
It's a thrill. Like, you get a thrill. Like, it's almost like, you know, like, I don't want to equate it to this, but it's almost like doing drugs. It's like, you know, you get this shot of, like, adrenaline. It's like, ah, like I was scared for a moment and then, like, kind of subsided. Like, you know, like, I, like, Candyman was one of those movies where, like, Candyman really scared the crap out of me.
Mm.
So, like, what I'm not ever going to do is say Candyman in the mirror five times.
Like, sounds like you believe.
Absolutely.
That Candyman still
has
power.
To this day, like, you know, I will not say Candyman in the mirror more than once. I'm about to say, I won't even say it one time, but I'm not ever going to play with that. I, like, you know, but, like, there was a point in time where, like, and I know it's not real.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's like, you know, like, when you watch certain things and your eye gates are open to certain things and those things enter into your heart, it does begin to create a nest of fear in you.
And that reminds me of something, because I mean, as a child, again, fear is a spirit that can attach itself. And I think that it does try to attach itself to kids, like, while you're young. So it's something that you grow up with and you just think that it's normal. Like, growing up, people used to be like, oh, you're so scary, you're so jumpy, because I would, like, any little thing, I'd be like, what's that, what's this? like and I lived with it as far as I can remember, and I took that on as my personality. Wow, and that's actually how other people would describe me. But it wasn't until I was actually delivered from that spirit where I felt the fact that I was no longer afraid. Where it was like a, this is weird. I usually feel this at this time. When I go, you know, get something out my car at night, I usually feel anxious and want to watch everything and expect. And it was just, it's a different type of peace. But again, it is a spirit and it's something that you can be delivered from. And so, I don't know, I think it's interesting.
So what does that deliverance process look like? If you can, like, kind of explain, like, you know, because I believe that there are a lot of people that deal with fear on a regular basis. Yeah. So how do we free people from that? If this can be a deliverance process, what is that like?
It was literally prayed off of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just
and it didn't feel like anything. I didn't notice it until the areas of my life where I used to display fear and anxiety, it was no longer there.
Like what?
It was like lighter. As simple as turning off the light, going upstairs and not feeling anything, not feeling like a presence was following me up. Like, it was like night and day. But when you live with something for so long, it becomes your norm.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, again, how fear thrives, is because you don't even notice it as something that can be dealt with. You take it on as a personality trait, you know?
Yeah.
You justify it. It makes sense to, I don't know, you can have fear, commitment, fear. It's just a lot of things where it can manifest and you can always justify fear, which I think is, like, why it can have such a hold on you for so long.
So I have a funny question for you. So your fear of fish in the ocean, where did that come from?
Is it fear or a healthy respect?
I don't know.
I feel like you're in their territory.
It'd be little school fish, like little goldfish that you'd be running from.
They're bigger than goldfish.
Eh.
And I just don't know what fish does what. You know, how do I know that they're not going to start nibbling at my toes? I don't know.
The fish is this big.
I was stung by a jellyfish once while swimming in the ocean. So now I'm just like, And you can't be mad because it's their territory. And so now I'm just like, what do you do? What do you do? I don't know. Let me just...
Taking a biology class. Every time you go to the ocean, like, okay, what kind of fish is this?
Exactly.
Like, blue stripes is poisonous.
Exactly.
So, not to air out your business, but with the whole jellyfish stinging thing, do you believe that that was where your fear of ocean critters came from?
No, I'm just very, like, I get squeamish easily. Like, I just remember, like, always watching Animal Planet and stuff growing up, and they would make the ocean look so cool.
It's majestic.
And then I actually went, you know, snorkeling, and it's like, it's different when the fish are there around you, brushing up against your leg. It's a lot. It's a lot.
You don't snorkel?
Not anymore.
You missing out.
I'm not. That's their territory. They don't try to come on land. We probably shouldn't be trying to go into their world. It's a thing.
So we're talking about fear from a place of just understanding that it's a false appearance of something.
Yeah.
It's something that attaches itself to your belief. So
has fear ever manifested itself outside of like something scary for you?
Yes, and I was going to say something more so like the fear of God. So that's my question. Like, how do we tell people that fear is a spirit that doesn't come from God, but also in the same sense tell people that you should fear God? Like, how, like, is it two different fears? Like, what's the difference between these two fears? So I think that my perspective of that would be, like, I think that, like you said, like, it's a healthy respect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're afraid or when you're fearful of ocean things, you literally, like, stay away from the ocean or whatever the case is. I don't think that God wants our fear in him to be rooted in staying away from God.
Mm.
So the same characteristics that we have with fear when it comes to earthly things or spiritual things that come from Satan or whatever the case is, I don't think that he wants us to have that fear with him. I think fear with God is more so, I fear you enough to obey you. I want to obey everything that you say because I know that you are the giver of life. And I know that if you're the giver of life, you can take life. So I'm not fearful where I can't dwell with God. I'm fearful where I'm going to always obey God,
mm-hmm.
or put myself in position to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the barbershop and I take my boys sometimes. And when I take my boys and my daughter, they literally will be in the barbershop and they'll be chilling. Cool. No issues. And the other kids will come in there and they'd be throwing tantrums, being loud, doing the most. And then one guy actually came up to me and said, yo, man, like, your kids, man, like, you know, they must really fear you. You must beat these kids every day. And I was like, nah, they just respect me enough to obey me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is a respect to obey.
Yeah.
And I think that's different from fearing, like, I'm afraid. Oh, like, you know, like, even when the angels show up in the do not be afraid. That's like one of the first things they say to you, like, don't be afraid. Like, I see that you're petrified right now, and I get it. This angel looks different from anything that you've ever experienced, but don't be afraid. Don't be fearful.
It mentions that very thing so many times without the Bible, and it's usually always accompanied with, for the Lord is with you.
Mm.
And I think that that is something to really take away because there is no need to be afraid when you have the Spirit of God.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Say that again.
There's no reason to be afraid when you have the Spirit of God with you. And so even if you take it back to, you know, God did not give us the spirit of fear. The rest of that is, but one of power, love, and a sound mind or self-control.
Okay.
And I think that there's so much packed into that scripture because when we think of power that he's given us, it's power to overcome whatever we're facing that could potentially, you know, make us fearful. And then love, like God is love. So one, if we believe that he loves us enough to where he's not going to let certain things happen, then again, why are we afraid of whatever that thing is?
Yeah.
And then of a sound mind or self-control, I think that that's really cool because it kind of speaks to how we have the autonomy to respond in a certain way. Like, okay. We don't have to respond in a fight or flight type of way. We could choose to stand 10 toes down, speak to that thing, and remove it. And so I think that that's one of those things where I think it's so cool because he doesn't leave us ill-equipped for anything that the enemy might not throw at us, you know? Right. And to your point, fear can be so paralyzing and keep us from a lot of the things that God wants us to pursue. So it's back to your point where it's just like, he's constantly telling us, do not be afraid, for I am with you.
Wow.
I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think that's really good because when you look at the Bible, there's so many stories in the Bible that deal with fear and like, you know, and what it does to man. And one in particular that I'm thinking about right now is Jesus speaking to the storm on a couple of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking a nap. Everybody's fearful on the boat. Like, yo, we're going to die. Like, death is imminent. And he, like, they wake Jesus up from his nap. And he says, like, no, like, yo, peace be still. Who is this man that the winds and the waves obey him, right? And I believe that he showcased that to them. So the next time that they were on a boat without Jesus, they knew the way you handle fear is not by panicking.
You speak to that thing.
You speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes what we don't do when we're afraid of something is we don't speak to it. No. We will literally run away, cower away from it, and we'll run and hide and hope that God rescues us. Which, again, cool. God will come and save you. But you have the power and the authority in which God gives you, according to that scripture, to speak to it.
Yeah.
And if you speak to it, like, you know, like, notice that when Peter and them were on the boat and the waves and stuff were about to overtake them, Peter says, yo, Jesus, if that's you, let me come out there and walk with you. Nobody else got out the boat and walked. Everybody was paralyzed by fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then what ends up happening is Peter ends up sinking when he sees the winds and the waves. When he ends up sinking, Jesus sticks his hand out, pulls him up from the water, puts him on the boat. And he says, ye of little faith. Like, you know, now, of course, when you look at that scripture, it's like, dang, like, you know, like he was the only one with the courage enough to even walk out there in the water. And yet he has little faith. And I don't think that that was about him being afraid of the winds and the waves more so than I think it was about God. Like, I showcased to you how to deal with storms.
Yeah.
And instead of speaking to it, you were afraid and you were petrified.
Yeah.
And you were hoping for a physical companion in me to be there as if I'm not with you in spirit.
Yeah.
As if I'm not with you in truth. Again, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So even if I'm not on the boat with you physically, you should have known that I was with you in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have modeled the same thing that I modeled to you the chapter before, which was to speak to it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what fear will make you so irrational that you'll forget how to handle it.
Yes.
Like, you'll forget that, oh, I got power over this thing. The Bible says in the beginning, right? Like, you have dominion over every crawly creature.
Every daddy long leg.
Every daddy long leg you have authority over.
Yeah.
Now, granted, as a child, I didn't know that. But if I would have known to speak to that thing, then maybe I could have spoke to that thing and all daddy long legs would have left me alone.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. Now, I have tried to exercise this authority. I'm not going to hold you. Like, I've tried to, like, be like, God, like, you know, all these wasps, like, you know, keep them away from me. Like, you know, like I have authority over these wasps. They don't always listen.
But do they sting you?
They don't sting me.
All right, you're good.
But they're still around. Like, I don't want them to be around. No. Like, you know, like,
we all share the same earth. They're going to be around.
So you can use that same logic for dragonflies, right? Yeah. Let's talk about it.
I'm not afraid of dragonflies. I just don't like the way they look up close. And I feel like they can't really fly in a certain... I feel like their wings are too thin for their bodies. And so a gust of wind could knock them right and land on me. And I'm... Wow. Anyways.
You marked it. You mapped this out.
Anyways.
Yes.
One thing that I... another scripture that I like is... 1 John 4:18, where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment, which tells me that love and fear can't dwell in the same place.
Wow.
You know, like love and torment can't be in the same place. So it kind of goes back to, what do you believe? Do you believe in the love of God that, you know, the love of God that he has for you?
Yeah.
And that he's going to protect you and all these things. Or do you believe that whatever you're afraid of is bigger and badder than God?
Yeah.
And because they can't, you got to choose.
But what is perfect love, though? Because you said that, and you said earlier that the way that you got over some of your fears was through deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
About saying, the scripture just said that, like, you know, love, perfect love, cast out all fear.
Yeah.
So that is deliverance. So my question would be, what is that perfect love?
The definition of love. Like, God is love. And so, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't believe that God and the spirit of fear can... You just got to... Yeah. You got to choose which one you're going to give into.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to believe is more big and badder?
Right.
Is it God Almighty who's actually bigger, or is it this fear that you have now magnified to God's status almost?
Yeah.
To where it's like, you know what I mean? They can't both coexist at the same time. As soon as you choose to give into fear and rationalize it as something that, you know, can protect you, you're saying God is not big enough to handle this for me.
Mm.
So fear wins. Wow. Fear is now bigger than the God that you claim you serve.
Wow. And we see this, again, laced throughout scripture. Think about Joshua and Caleb. When these guys, in Numbers 13, I want to say it is, when they're looking at this land that God has given them, and like, hey, this is ours for the taking. And if we go back and read the scriptures, they literally say, like, the people that were with them thought the opposite. So they spread this news throughout the town that we're like grasshoppers and they're like giants.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was actually true.
Right.
But fear literally made them create a scenario that wasn't even true to prevent them from having to go and take over and fight for what was rightfully theirs.
Yeah.
Again, fear is literally trying to prevent you from getting what belongs to you.
And it goes to what you believe.
Yeah. I'm about to say, if you believe that the perfect love casts out all fear, when God is with you, it's almost like when you go into a fight and you got that big brother behind you that you know ain't never lost a fight a day in his life.
Right.
Like, God is that person, bro.
Because Joshua wasn't afraid.
At all. Caleb wasn't afraid.
He was excited. Like,
they're with the shenanigans. Like, right. Yo, what we doing? Like, yeah. Let's go get this.
Yeah.
And I think that they recognized that perfect love was with them.
Yeah.
So if you are fearful of something, you got to ask yourself almost, have I accompanied God in this area of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, have I invited God into this space in which I'm fearful? Because guess what? Deliverance doesn't necessarily have to happen at a church. Deliverance can happen at the crib.
Yes, that's so good, because this is the most scripture I've ever read on the podcast. Psalms 34:4
yeah.
Says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Wow.
So as soon as we take our fears to the Lord, acknowledge like, hey, Lord, this is kind of what, you know, I'm facing right now. Here's why. Can you deliver? You know, like, yeah. He's going to deliver you.
Yeah.
Every time. And at least that's what the scriptures say.
No, but the scriptures are true. Again,
yes.
this is the word of God.
Yeah.
So to help people understand how to get delivered from fear, invite God into that space.
Right.
And when you invite God to that, deliverance will take place. Again, God can absolutely use a church, and God can absolutely, like, you know, use a minister to lay hands on you and all that good stuff. That's cool. But I don't want you to be so contingent upon going to a body on Sunday and then you be fearful Monday through Saturday, waiting for Sunday to come so you can be quote unquote delivered. Deliverance can take place in your bedroom.
Okay. And this is my last scripture for real.
No,
because
for
now
it.
I'm hyped.
Yeah.
Because the Bible, they just, you know, it excites me. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10. It says casting down. It should be 10 and 4 and 5 maybe.
Go for it.
Okay. Let's see.
Preach.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I think that just kind of sums up what we're talking about. Like, your thoughts that try to tell you that this is bigger and badder than the God that you serve, you have to take those things captive and bring them down to obedience of Christ. Like, every thought. And again, it's not something that we can fight physically all the time, because it is a spirit. So this is a part of spiritual warfare in a way. And so I think that just kind of all, you know, goes together.
Yeah. So I think that at the end of the day, again, to have a healthy respect for something is one thing. I think that we have to begin to identify the areas in which Satan is trying to punk us. Like, where is Satan? Does not know what's on the other side. He just knows if you keep going, you're going to get close to it. So, like, it's literally a thing where Satan will try to, like, have you dealt with sleep paralysis before?
You know I have.
Okay. So I'm about to say, so I've dealt with sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And I normally tend to deal with sleep paralysis when I'm on a deep spiritual journey. When I fast, when I'm literally, like, conditioning myself to have more of God in my life. Literally in those moments, that's where Satan tries to disrupt my sleep. And he tries to, like, you know, scare me with bills. And he tries to scare me with, like, things that aren't necessarily settled within my heart. Because he understands that if I focus more on the fear than God, then I'll miss out on what he has for me, because I will delay myself.
Yeah.
Think about the Bible, where it says that the children of Israel in 1 Samuel 17, when Goliath shows up, they all run away. Every time Goliath showed up, he ran away. The only person that ran toward Goliath was David.
Right.
So what happens is fear literally made them run away and delay the victory that was already given to them. So what Satan tries to do is he tries to make things seem bigger and badder than what they are, just to scare you away from doing what God has called for you to do. I can't lie to you and say that, like, you know, like, when I experienced that sleep paralysis, it almost made me not want to fast anymore. It almost made me want to just give up on, like, this spiritual journey. Because when I wasn't, like, you know, like, striving for more of God, I was at peace. Like, I was good. I was, like, I was living large. I had all the money in the world. About to say, like, I had, like, all my bills taken care of. I had all my ducks in a row. About to say, I wasn't afraid of anything, because Satan doesn't attack what he owns. Satan doesn't attack what belongs to him already. So if he sees I'm not living a lifestyle that's, like, submitted to God, he's like, oh yeah, like, I ain't worried about you. Oh, but you trying to run?
Yeah.
Oh, you trying to get away from me? You trying to get closer to God? Well, let me try to scare you away.
Yeah.
Let me try to scare you off this path. But if you stick to it, man, and you recognize that God is with you, when these terrors come by night.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I shall fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
You better
I shall fear no evil. That means that evil is going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah.
Fear is there.
Yeah, yeah.
Evil spirits are there, but I won't allow that fear to stop me from moving forward. Like, think about that scripture.
That's
even
so
though
good.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, like, not like I get to the valley of the shadow of death and I got to stop walking and walk away. Sometimes God is saying you got to walk through scary situations to get what I have for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to endure some things to get what I have for you. But the problem with us Christians sometimes is that the minute something gets scary, the minute something gets touchy, we run away.
Yeah.
The same way they did in 1 Samuel 17.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a catalyst of somebody to conquer the thing. And I'm really not trying to get preachy, but it sometimes it takes God putting somebody on your path to conquer the thing that you were afraid of to motivate you to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Think about what happens in 1 Samuel 17. They start chanting, they start getting hype, all this good stuff. Goliath shows up, they run away. Then David shows up. David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That's church cussing.
Yeah.
For those who don't know. Like, you know, like, you uncircumcised Philistine. Like, you know, like, I'm going to kill you because you oppose my Lord.
Yeah.
So when he does that, he charges toward Goliath. And what happens now is the same people that were running away before are all motivated to pick up their weapons and conquer their fear in fighting the things that was opposing them. When you conquer a fear, You don't know who's watching you.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that you conquered your fear, you now motivate a generation of people to conquer their fears.
Come on.
And this is what sometimes God is saying that you got to overcome. You have to go through, because you never know whose victory is contingent upon you conquering your fear.
Yes, that's so good.
And the children of Israel were not able to win until they saw David do what he did.
And you often say, like, a lot of stuff we go through is not just for us. Like, this, the things that Satan tries to put in our path to stop us, it's because he knows or has an inkling of all the people that's attached to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're just as bound as you are, as long as you don't conquer what you're supposed to conquer, as long as you stay in the same place.
Yeah.
You're not breaking free a generation or I mean, just the people closest to you, your siblings, your kids, your parents. Like, to your point, sometimes they just need to see it done.
Yeah.
To be motivated.
Like,
to do it
even
themselves.
Like, you know, like generational curses, right? About mm-hmm. saying, like, we sometimes see that there's a trait in our family. So oftentimes, maybe even like our elders would tell us, like, hey, don't do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to be doing this, that, and the third. And then you do it and you conquer it. And it almost makes them look at you like,
what'd you do?
Like, how'd you?
I really?
I've been struggling with that for years.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, I can now encourage my people to do something because I was the risk taker.
Yeah.
I was the one that conquered the fear.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I just, if anything, I want people to walk away with the fact that fear is a spirit and it's not the spirit to find your identity in. Because again, I know that, I think that it was intentional for Satan to try to indoctrinate me with that spirit at a young age.
Yeah.
Because I sat down in prayer at one point and asked God, like, what does heaven call me? You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And he said, fearless. And that, at the time, because I wasn't deliberate, it was the total opposite of my experience up until that point. Like, wow. As far as I could remember, I'm like, I'm actually pretty scary. But if Satan knows that heaven calls you fearless, I feel like he's going to try to get you to identify yourself with the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So that you don't walk into, you
know,
the
truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because at that time I was like, I think you got the wrong person, Lord. Like, I don't know. Me fearless. But think about, to your point, all the things that are attached to me on the other side of fear.
Yeah.
The people that can be freed on the other side of me conquering that fear.
Right.
And again, I just, it's easy to live with something for so long and take it on as normal.
Yeah.
As an identity. This is just how I am, you know?
And I think that you said something really key. Fear sometimes is like not knowing who you are. You said heaven calls you, God calls you fearless.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't know who you are, it's easy to be afraid. It's easy to identify yourself as something that's false.
Yes.
So, again, this is laced with scripture. So if we look at Exodus, like, you know, in Exodus, in the beginning of Exodus, the Bible says that the children of Israel outnumbered the Egyptians by a long shot.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening is the Egyptians enslaved them. Sometimes when you don't know who you are, you'll fall victim to anything.
Right.
I'm bigger than you. We outnumber you 1,000,000 to 1. Yet and still, I'm going to allow you to enslave me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens with Satan. Satan says, I know that you're bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you serve a God that's badder than me. I know that you have chariots of fire fighting on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So what Satan hopes to do is for you to not know that.
Right.
So he can enslave you to something.
Right.
That you're bigger than.
Right.
Like, you're bigger than that thing that you're afraid of. You're
How
bigger.
How many people don't know the authority that they walk in?
Come on.
That comes with being a child of God.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Like, the authority to speak to storms, to move mountains, just to speak to demonic influences. Like, we don't have to live under submission to any of those things.
Your words have power.
But if we don't use them because we don't know.
Because we don't know. About saying,
and because,
like,
the world tries to tell you what you should be afraid of, what's possible, what's not possible, and all the things. Okay.
Yeah.
Not even a side note, but this is why I really think it's like a great, great marketing tactic for, I don't want to say, for demons, lack of better words, for
sure.
Demons in scary movies where it's like The Exorcist and everything.
Oh, man.
Like, they let demons seem so powerful.
Dude.
And it takes them the whole movie to cast them out. And what's that doing psychologically to people is to see demons as this big, powerful thing.
That's good.
And they're not.
That's good.
Like, with the authority that we walk in, the things be casted out just like that.
Immediately is what my Bible says happens. Like, you know? Like, somebody told me this one time, and he's really dope. But he literally said that, like, you know, casting out demons is Christianity 101.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that he tells the disciples to do. Right. After, like, you know, he sits with them for a little bit of time, he says, like, you know, he sends them out 2x2 to heal the sick and cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So why do we have these movies in which these demons are so powerful? And I think it's also because at the end of the day, like, you know, the way that they make them is like, these guys aren't necessarily rooted in Jesus. So they don't necessarily have the real power to cast them out. You try to cast them out with all these spells and all these, like, yeah, you feeding a demon at that point in time.
Yeah.
About to say, like, no, but to your point, demons are not scary.
It's the greatest propaganda.
The biggest
one. The Exorcist movies to make them seem.
And then you got that new movie, you know, Deliverance, that's out. Like, you know, like,
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either. I'm about to say, because I don't, I personally, as much as I love scary movies, like, you know, growing up, anything dealing with, like, demonic activity where, and I know they all deal with demonic activity, but I'm talking about, like, you know, like the exorcism spirit things, like, you know, that's the villain.
Yeah.
When I read my Bible, and I wasn't always a Bible scholar, but I've always read in the Bible just how easily demons were casted out. Like, there's only one time in the Bible.
Lot of back and forth.
Yeah, no conversations, no twisting of the heads, and, like, you know, like, now they throwing up on you. Like, you know, like, I'm not saying that they don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that, like, you know, like, the way that they make these things so, like, throwing up maggots in the movies and stuff, it's just like, this is just like, it's gory more so than anything else. It's not scary.
Yeah.
But I see effortlessly Jesus be like, this is one funny story in the Bible where Jesus is dealing with the kid that has been throwing himself in the fire, doing the most, convulsing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the dad brings him to him. And while the kid is doing the most, because this is what happens. When demons get closer to God, they begin to act out more. So, like, the closer the boy got to Jesus, he started convulsing and started doing the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus says, so, Dad, let's talk about you for a second. He's cool. We're going to take care of that in a minute. He doesn't even pay the demon any mind that much. The dad's like, oh, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Okay, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
It goes back to belief.
When you don't believe the right things, fear dwells.
You can't believe in that thing that's scaring you more than you believe in the power of God.
Fear literally inhabits where there's no belief.
Yeah.
So now that's when Jesus says, all right, now the effortless part. All right, get out and then cast y'all out to the pigs.
Yeah.
And they just do it.
Yeah.
They don't argue. They don't like there's one time where we see they're like, oh, we are legion. We are many. Like, you know, like, but they don't sit there and tell God, oh, we not coming out.
Right.
We not doing this or whatever the case is. Like, they literally come out effortlessly when Jesus, or when you're in the right authority, not even so much Jesus, like, even when Peter and them were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked, like, you know, like, hey, how come this didn't work for us? And he says, some things only come through praying and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Some things require a different type of discipline. Mm-hmm. Some things require a different lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you live that lifestyle out to the fullest, you begin to walk in a certain authority where spirits, scorpions, serpents, demons don't scare you.
Yeah.
This is like, man, get out of here. Miss me with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see in the Bible where they literally, the sons of Sceva, they try to cast a certain demon out and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the movies that we watch, that's the representation of them.
Yes.
Like, y'all are trying, they say that, hey, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, the one that Paul preaches about.
Not the one we have our faith in.
And then the demon, because demons recognize Jesus,
mm-hmm.
they recognize who has authority. They say, Paul, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I know. Who the heck are you?
Who are you?
You ain't nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible said that them demons beat the brakes off of them so much to the point where they beat them out, they close.
Yeah.
It's like, man, like, I be seeing demons win in movies, and that's what I think of.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't necessarily have a real relationship with God, and you're trying to have spiritual warfare,
mm-hmm.
thinking that you can do it without him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, of course, like, you know, like, when you start doing stuff like that, that's where these demons get so empowered.
Yes.
Like, stop believing these stupid movies y'all watch, man. These demons ain't that strong.
Right.
These demons ain't that powerful. These demons aren't that intimidating.
Yeah.
Demons, every knee bows.
Yeah.
When Jesus showed up on the scene, like, you know, like, oh, why have you come before your time? Mm-hmm. Thought we had some more time out here. They were petrified of Jesus is the real villain.
Well, or the real hero.
I mean, yeah, of
that
course.
That conquers the villains.
But to them, it's like, oh, yeah. No, Jesus is here.
Yeah.
Like, they're afraid of Jesus.
Yeah.
We are putting our fear in the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Be afraid of God, not your demons.
Come on. Not man.
Not these little things on earth.
Right.
Like, these things have expiration dates.
What the Bible say? Like, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body, but be afraid of the one who can kill the body and the soul.
I'm about to say, like, you guys have your fear rooted in the wrong thing. And, of course, it goes back to what you're watching, what you're indoctrinated. Again, like, you know, as kids, we had All You're Afraid of Dark. We had Goosebumps.
Real monsters.
We had real monsters. Ah, real monsters. Like, they literally.
Did you just growl?
That was the thing. It's like, you know, like. You ever watched Real Monsters?
No.
The theme song, like, you know, like, you're like, ah, Real Monsters.
Oh. Anyways,
Courage the Cowardly Dog was a scary show. I don't care what nobody said. That return, I'm not asking y'all to go watch it. But that Return the Slab episode, if you ever watched Return the Slab, I promise you, you had nightmares.
Listen.
That thing literally was unsettling.
And one thing that I feel like may be controversial, because I know a lot of people do and are not affected, but I don't know. It's something about being delivered from fear. Like, why would I watch scary movies that host that spirit? And
okay.
You know what I mean? That could possibly open you up to those things all over again. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Fair.
Which is, and when I speak from a place of the importance of guarding your eye gates and your ear gates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at the same time, it's just like, if we are supposed to be diligent with that, why are we watching certain things? I don't know. That's just me.
No, I mean,
I know some people are just like, I watch scary movies. I know you think that they're funny and different things like that. But again, you just said you watch Curly. I cannot talk today.
Yeah, you good.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah.
And you're sure to have nightmares.
That was a scary show.
Is it because you opened yourself up to that?
Nah, it was just scary. I mean, yes, but it was just scary. There were some episodes that were just really like mad scary.
Yeah, show.
But like no cap, like, you know, like Curse Cowardly Dog.
What would be scary, like, today? So as a child,
like, All You're Afraid of Dark wasn't really scary. I'm about to say it's just like ghost stories. Goosebumps wasn't really scary. It was just random, like, slime and like random monsters they try to scare you with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's certain movies that are just like, you know, like, I call them blood porn, where it's literally like they're just trying to throw as much blood at you as possible and that's how they scare you. But Courage was psychological. Courage messed with your mind. Like, you know, like, and that joke was like, it was wild. I was just like, yo, like, that, like, you take a slab and all of a sudden now that thing is outside your door, like, you know, like haunting you, like changing the sky and stuff like that. That was scary. But to your point, I'm about to say, because I didn't want to get too off topic. There was a guy, he's a prominent teacher, and he said that he watches, like, you know, scary movies. And he said that he watches them, like, you know, and he finds them to be entertaining because it's like, I know this is fictional. I know that demons aren't this strong.
Yeah.
I cast out demons that's what I do all the time. That's what I do on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Just cast out demons. So there are, I'm not saying that that's wisdom, but what I will say is that, like, no, you got to know your tolerance level. I wouldn't recommend anybody to watch scary movies.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend anybody to watch horror films. I love me a good thriller. Anybody that knows me, I love a good movie that's going to have me on the edge of my seat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, A Quiet Place was a good film to me. Like, you know, like, I just thought the story was cool because I'm big into stories. But I do also understand that the spirit that's attached to the actual movie itself,
mm-hmm.
there's a propaganda in hell,
mm-hmm.
that is trying to be indoctrinated upon you.
Right.
And if Satan can get a hold of you through your eyes, through your ears, what you hear, what you see, then he knows that that's just the seed.
I've heard people say, like, after I watched The Exorcist, after I watched certain you know, horror movies or whatever, like, they are not the same. Like, they feel like, you know what I mean?
Even the people that work in the
whether they're saved or not, I don't know, but there is something that I believe that you open yourself up to with certain things. And I know that we're covered by the blood and all those things, so maybe they're unbelievers, but I just know that I'm not tripping when I say it'd be certain spirits attached to those type of movies.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. And my prayer is that people just recognize just how sensitive your spirit is.
Yeah.
You may not be sensitive mentally. Like, you might be able to handle it.
Yeah.
But your spirit, man, is sensitive to what you expose it to. And if your body is a temple, everything that goes in it, whether it be from physical to food, from drinking to what you see internally, like what you see mentally.
Because it may not always manifest right away, right?
Right.
Like, you can watch, I don't even think I watched the whole thing, but let's say Jeepers Creepers, right?
Okay.
Okay, so you watch the movie and you're just like, okay, that wasn't, you know, but now you find yourself in an open cornfield or whatever, and that movie just pops in your mind, and what you thought didn't have an effect on you at all. Now got you kind of like uneasy.
I'll tell you this.
You facing anxiety. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure that everybody's seen this, so I'm not promoting it. But I watched The Ring. I watched The Ring recently as an adult, and I realized I had no reason to be afraid of this movie. Like, it was dumb to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
But when I was younger and I watched The Ring, when I say that, like, when my TV, back when TVs were analog, when I saw static on my TV, my heart.
Thought someone's about to pop up.
Like, my heart would skip beats. I'd be like, yo, like, I would start getting goosebumps. I would start getting chills. Like, oh, snap. Like, because the seed was planted.
Exactly.
And even though, and I was afraid of that movie, but, like, you know, like, it's like, it's certain things, again, that you just won't do. I won't say Candyman in the mirror. I won't say Bloody Mary in the mirror.
Seed was planted.
Right. I won't watch the TV with the static on. Like, you know, I won't go in tall grass because there's a movie about tall grass.
Right.
That was demonic.
So maybe you watch the movie, you're not afraid of the dark or something, but you don't know what seed spiritually was already planted in you just by you watching whatever that movie.
Everything is not entertainment.
Yeah.
Some things are agendas from hell.
Most things, but yeah.
Most things.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, and I think the minute that we get a grasp on that, I think that we'll understand that, we need to have a healthy boundary.
Yeah.
With things so we don't develop fear.
Exactly. Or allow that thing to attach itself.
Because
in any
it
type
is a,
of way.
It's a spirit.
It is a spirit, and it can be casted out
through the love of God.
Yeah, man. Amen. This is good.
I'm no longer afraid.
Amen.
I was,
I know.
But thank y'all for watching. Here's the thing, man. Yes. Be sure to like, share, subscribe. Send this to as many people as you can, man. Get this word out.
Yeah.
The word of God is truth, man. I mean, we want to just make sure that people are being changed by the word of God. So thank y'all. And
see ya.
We'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye.